And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X-1.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
About 9 minutes after 11 p.m. here on a Sunday, January 8th, 2017, this is the WGN Radio Theater, program 144 in the series. The vivacious and very dimpled Lisa Wolf is to my right. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl.
What's going on?
Nothing. Everything's
very
great.
Effervescent today you are.
I have a little bubbly drink that
you
just bubbled over a little bit.
It bubbled
just,
over a
just
lot.
Just a moment ago.
Yes.
All good.
Good to see you, Lisa.
Thank you. You too, Carl.
We have Mike Gastella, our executive producer, in the house. What's up, Mike?
Hello. How are you?
He's become A-list. He doesn't stay the whole show.
A-list?
He's become A-list.
Apparently, people want me to do too many things. So.
Yes, I know.
It's hard to be loved.
Yeah, I guess.
He's
a busy guy.
Busy. All right, so we have Elif Garris, our producer, in the booth. What's up, Elif?
Hey, not too much. How are you guys?
Good to see you. And we have two guests in the studio, Rick and Natalia. They're here as well. They're going to make sure we put on a really good show. If not, the whip comes out.
God, it's all my fault. Gotcha.
And, you know, to my right, there's a present for me. It's in a box. And so at some point, we're going to do a Facebook Live because they finally ponied up and got me a present for Christmas.
How do you like that?
So I can't call them cheapskates anymore. They've actually got me a present here.
Well, why don't you wait till you open it?
Yeah.
You can decide.
We're going to do a Facebook Live a little later as I open it. And in this hour, we're going to tune into Dragnet, starring Jack Webb. Hour two, The Great Gildersleeve. And hour three, The Man Called X, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming sci-fi thriller Mute, about a mute bartender who goes up against his city's gangsters.
All right.
And the winner gets a fantastic prize, a pair of tickets to see I Left My Heart, a salute to the music of Tony Bennett, which is playing at the Mercury Theater, Chicago.
I Left My Heart
in
San Francisco.
There we go. And along with
that, starring as him in this?
That would be a big surprise, wouldn't it?
It'd be a sellout if I did.
Oh, yeah. I would come to
see
it. There would no question.
There'd be like two seats left in the whole place, or actually taken in the whole place.
Left or taken, which is it?
Taken.
And along with the show, I can't think of anything better than a $25 gift certificate buy a Lou Malnati's pizza.
Are you saying that the winner gets a pizza and two tickets?
That is a perfect combo.
Wow.
So it's a big night.
312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of 2009's I Love You, Man.
Muscle Beach, half an hour. I will see you there, or I will see you on another time.
That was very confusing. I don't know if you're going to come or not.
No, I'll be there. I'll be there.
All right, I'll see you then.
Bye. All right. Latris on the menge.
Latris on the menge.
And he goes, I don't know why I said that.
All right. Who is that fantastic actor? 312-981.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. This is a big night. Carl gets his holiday present, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Muscle Beach, half an hour. I will see you there, or I will see you on another time.
That was very confusing. I don't know if you're going to come or not.
No, I'll be there. I'll be there.
All right. I'll see you then.
Bye. All right. Latris on the menge.
We've got Patrick on the line from Winfield. Hi, Patrick.
How's it going, guys?
Are you enjoying that clip from I Love You, Man as much as I am?
Yeah, I love that movie.
I love that movie. So who is that great actor?
That's Paul Rudd.
It is Paul Rudd. And Patrick, we're so happy to give you this great prize. You get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, my favorite pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and you can order online at loumalnatis.com. Plus, you're going to see a great show. I will be there for opening. You get a pair of tickets to see I Left My Heart, a salute to the music of Tony Bennett, playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago through March 5th. And it's a musical review featuring Tony Bennett's greatest hit. So I hope you really enjoy that. It's going to be a terrific show.
Hey, Patrick, I have gray hair and Tony Bennett has gray hair, and I sing a lot like him. So do you think I could play the Tony Bennett part?
If you auditioned and won it.
Okay.
There you go. I think
you know what?
Fair
That's
answer.
The way to do it. Go there and audition. Just wow everybody and get the lead role.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's how it's
well,
done.
Then I'll see you there opening night, Patrick, because I will be the singer.
And
I
will
singer.
Be the only person in the audience, but I will
Patrick.
Be there. Patrick, let's go.
Congratulations, Patrick. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. All right, it's time for Dragnet here on the WGN Radio Theater. It's a police procedural, came to radio 1949, lasted to 1957. True crime stories of closed cases, and Jack Webb was the force behind the show. He was the producer, the director, the star of it. Of course, it made a transition to television as well. Very, very popular detective series. We have an episode of Dragnet now for you from May 11th, 1954. Jack Webb stars in The Big Look. Here's part one of Dragnet.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a robbery detail. You get a call that a woman has been badly beaten. She can't describe her assailant. He's still at large. Your job? Find him. Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, January 14th. It was raining in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Chief of Detectives Thad Brown. My name's Friday. We're on our way out from the office, and it was 11:47 p.m. when we got to 7982 Oakwood Avenue. Front door.
What is it?
Police officers, we'd like to see Ms. Griffin.
How do I know?
Beg your pardon?
How do I know you're cops?
Here's our identification.
Hand it here.
Pardon?
Pass it through the door. I want to see it good.
All right, here you are.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, your guess is as good as mine.
Come on in.
Thank you.
Hurry up. Don't let all the rain in.
Yes, ma'am.
I wonder if I have my identification back, please.
Take your coats off right here. I don't want you tracking water through the house.
All right. Could I have that identification card,
you don't please? Mind my being so careful about what's happened here. I've got to take all precautions, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Come on into the sitting room.
I'll take that card. Thank
Which
you.
Which one of you is Sergeant Friday?
I am.
You're the one who called.
That's right.
Who's he?
This is my partner, Frank Smith.
Well, sit down. Here's your card.
Thank you.
Get you anything? Cup of coffee? Maybe some hot cocoa,
No,
thank you.
I'll suit yourself. Now, what is it you want?
We understand you know Mrs. Kieran.
We're neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can tell us what happened here tonight.
Seems like you'd have the story, being cops and all.
Well, we'd like to hear you tell it, ma'am.
All right. I was here tonight watching the TV, just gone out to the kitchen to get a plate of snacks for the late show. You know, kind of like to munch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, I heard this scream real loud. I wasn't watching the television right then, so at first I thought it was from the set, you know, like a drama.
Yes, ma'am.
Didn't think nothing about it right then. Got myself all settled for the movie, and then I heard another scream. That's when I knew there was something wrong.
How's that?
It was a quiz on the television. No reason for any screams. Right then, there was another one. Then I knew it was from next door.
Yeah.
So I got my coat and umbrella and went over there.
I see.
Knocked on the door, but didn't get no answer. Well, I went into the house. All dark, not a light on. Went right in and called to Mrs. Kieran, called to her.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't answer, but I could kind of hear something off to the back of the place.
Uh-huh.
Sounded like somebody crying, kind of like a whimper, soft.
Yeah.
It came from the back of the house in the bedroom.
You didn't see anybody else in the house when you went in, did you?
If I had, I'd have told you before this.
Go ahead, please.
I got to the bedroom and opened the door. Couldn't see anything at first.
Uh-huh.
Then I was about to go on in, and this man jumped out at me.
He was in the bedroom, was he?
Yeah, must have been hiding in the dark and heard me coming, and he got back so I wouldn't see him. Then when I opened the door, he jumped right out, almost scared me to death.
Well, what did he do?
Just jumped at me and ran out of the house, right through the front door. I heard it slam.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard the crying again. It was sort of off to one side of the room. I couldn't see right away where it was coming from.
Uh-huh.
I turned on the light, and right away I saw her. She was laying on the floor.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, it was just terrible. Room was all tore up. Things all thrown around, a real mess, and her laying right there in the middle of it, all beat up. Looked like whoever done it had tried to kill her.
What'd you do then?
Called the police. Dialed O, told the operator to send a policeman. Wasn't long before they was here. It seemed like there was 100 of them all over the place.
All right, Mr. Griffin. I wonder if you can give us a description of the man you saw.
Other officers asked me the same thing. Isn't much I can tell you. Just all of a sudden, he was there, and then he was gone.
You're pretty sure it was a man, though, huh?
Certainly. I guess I know a man when I see one. Been married to one for 22 years.
Yes, ma'am. Can you tell us anything about him?
I just got a glimpse of him. Not good. I can't tell you anything but how he looked. He was standing in the dark when I come in. Next thing I knew, he jumped past me and went out the front door.
Yes, ma'am. Would you know him again if you saw him?
I don't think so. Just a glimpse, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Sure like to help, but there isn't much more I can tell you.
All right, ma'am.
How is Mrs. Karen? She gonna be okay?
Well, she'll be in the hospital for a few days, but she's gonna be all right.
Isn't she able to tell you something about the man who did this?
No, ma'am.
Seems like she'd be able to describe him. Must have been there for a good half hour.
How do you figure that?
Must have been at least that long from the time I heard the first scream till I got over there. First off, I didn't think it was real. Thought it was on television.
Yes, ma'am, you told us.
Must have been a half hour.
Mm-hmm. Now, did Mrs. Karen have any enemies that you knew of?
Well, there's some people who didn't like her. A couple right here in the neighborhood, but none of them that would do a thing like this.
How'd she and her husband seem to get along?
Well, you mean, did they have any fights?
Yes, that's right.
All the time. Seemed like they was always battling about something.
Would you know what caused the arguments?
Oh, mostly about her and other men. He thought she was running around on him. He used to fight about it. A couple of times he said if she didn't stop, he's going to kill her.
Was that true?
You mean about her and the men?
Yes.
Well, might have been, for all I know. I didn't pay much mind to their troubles. Seems like I had too many things to keep me busy without getting mixed up in their problems.
All right, Miss Griffin, we'll leave our card with you. If you remember anything you think we'd be interested in, we'd appreciate a call from you.
If I think of anything, you get one.
Thank you, ma'am.
Don't it seem kind of funny to you?
Well, what's that?
How Mrs. Kieran can't tell you anything about the fella? Don't that strike you kind of odd?
How do you mean?
Well, if somebody is in my house for that long, I'd be able to tell something about him. Something for sure.
Mm-hmm.
At least I guess with the lights off, maybe she couldn't see. And then again...
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe she don't want to tell you.
Frank and I drove back to the office and put in a call to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital. We talked to Dr. Sebastian and found that the victim had recovered to the point where she could be moved to her own hospital. We also talked with the officers who were with her. They told us that the woman hadn't given them any new information and that they still hadn't been able to contact her husband. While I checked the crime lab, Frank went down the hall and ran the names Irene and Tom Kieran through R&I. 2:14 a.m., we met back in the squad room.
How'd it go in the crime lab?
Oh, I got it all here. You want to take a look?
Yeah.
Beginning to look like we got a good case against the husband.
Yeah?
Well, here. Here's a picture of the room. The woman was found about here. See?
Mm-hmm.
You can see the way the stuff's scattered all around the place, all through here.
Yeah. It looks like robbery.
Well, he wanted it to look that way, maybe.
What do you mean?
Well, in the dresser drawer here, the boys from the crime lab found $120 in cash. All the thief had to do was open the drawer, and he'd have seen it, too.
Oh. Well, how about the entrance?
That's something else that doesn't seem to gel. They checked all the windows and doors. There's no sign of any breaking. She must have opened the door for the thief.
Well, that means it was somebody Mrs. Kiernan knew, huh?
Yeah, it kind of looks that way.
Anything else we can use?
Well, take a look here. Here's a picture of a footprint Lee Jones found in the earth beside the path. The way it looks, the thief left the path when he ran from the house and stepped in the soft dirt.
Do us any good?
No, not much. The ground was wet. Must have been a good impression, but the rain broke down the walls. It's not much good to us now.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. Layton Prince didn't come up with anything. How'd you do?
Well, nothing on the woman. Husband's got an arrest record.
Yeah.
Got it right here. Mrs. Karen had him pinched 18 months ago on a beating charge. Refused to prosecute. Same thing a year ago. And here, besides her complaints, he's been booked for ADW and suspicion 211.
Done any big time?
No, never drew a conviction.
Hmm.
Now, Joe, the thing I don't understand, if it was her husband, why doesn't she beef him? She wasn't worried about having him arrested before.
No. There's something wrong about it. Well, there's got to be an answer someplace. You tagged the stats office?
Yeah, I gave them what we had on the guy. They're going to start a run on the MO in the morning. Better get the rest of this information down to him.
Yeah, we can drop it off on the way out, huh?
Right.
You got that list of the husband's friends?
Uh-huh.
Well, let's talk to them. Maybe they can tell us where he is.
Okay.
Hot shot. I'll get it.
What is it?
Stats office are going to have to wait, I guess.
Huh?
1824 Studio Court.
Well, that's a couple of blocks from Kieran's. What's the call?
Woman slugged.
All right, that's the first portion of Dragnet, broadcast from May 11th, 1954, with A Big Look, starring Jack Webb. And this was probably the most popular detective show on radio and TV. It also was in films as well. Jack Webb played this character perfectly. He was Sergeant Joe Friday, and these were actually closed cases from the LAPD. They were able to go in, and they were working with the LAPD. A police department, and they would give them these cases, and then they would take them and dramatize them on radio. But if they were all closed cases, of course.
I remember watching it on television just a couple years ago.
Dump, da-dum, dump, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You remember this show quite a bit, Mike, on television?
No, not really. No, not at all.
No. Elif was,
I'm sure Elif was,
I think
Elif
was one of the producers back in 1954 on this show.
Right? Yeah, that was my prime.
Yeah.
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 She's gone downhill since then.
That was my prime.
Yeah, this is a prime. All right. We'll have more of Dragnet after these words here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, I want to tell all of our listeners about our website, freeradioclassics.com, because if you haven't signed up for this already, you're going to miss another email from me. I send everyone that signs up to this an email every Monday. So you get 52 emails a year from me, and in that email is an embedded classic radio show that Mike puts together. So Mike's a busy guy. He's embedding the classic radio shows. He's producing this program. He does our national show. He does our podcast show.
I do all the audio restoration. I do some stuff with Facebook, which,
and
by the way, you can
work
at Columbia College. I got two jobs there.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, we all have to take some extra
That's
jobs.
That's why he looks like he looks.
Carl.
Look at him, poor guy.
I
poor
know.
Guy.
Ever since I've known Carl, this is what happened to me.
I know. Believe me.
It's like, yeah. I looked like, I looked like a kid. I looked like a kid when I met Carl.
He used to be healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a slave driver.
But this website, folks, is set up for you to give you 52 classic radio shows every year. It's absolutely free. You don't have to buy anything. You get an email sent to you with a classic radio show. Not only is there a classic radio show, but what else,
there's
Lisa?
A lot of other information. There's pictures of the actors. There's a synopsis of the radio show. There are some original advertisements as they aired in the original radio shows. What else is
broadcast
in there?
The
dates are in there. So there's a lot of additional information.
Yeah, it's a fun email. You get it every Monday. Yeah. And if you sign up, just go to freeradioclassics.com. All you have to do is put your name and email address, and you'll get your first email tomorrow if you're not signed up. If you're already signed up, you'll get another email from me. Right?
We're all going to get it tomorrow.
Yeah. And you know, it's great because they're all digitally remastered. They sound awesome. I Bluetooth them because this is the one technological thing I can do. I can Bluetooth them to my car while I'm driving. I listen to them.
You know, I have to say, this is one of the few emails that I get from you that I don't delete right away.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't have something for you to do. Like,
exactly.
You know, hey, Lisa,
can you just do me a favor really fast?
Can you edit this?
Can you just really fast? And I need it right now.
Generally, when I send Lisa an email, it's like, hey, could you check my spelling in this thing?
And can you do it right now?
Right. Send it back in 5 minutes.
I really don't care where you are, just right now.
All right, so sign up to freeradioclassics.com. Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Got a big crowd in here today. We have Lisa Wolf, Mike Costella, Elif Garris. We have Rick and Natalia.
When you're in the room, it feels always like a big crowd, Carl.
And we have a present that I'm going to open. In fact, when we go back to this Dragnet episode, I think we're going to do a Facebook Live. I don't know what that means.
We're going to do that of you opening
your
present.
It's going to show up on Facebook as you are doing it live.
Oh, is that what it means?
So everybody's got to hop on the Facebook, WGN Radio
Theater. You have to
hop,
though.
to check this out.
So if you are a member of Facebook or whatever, however that works, if you're on Facebook, you can actually watch this live?
You can, yes. Oh. And then it'll be stored there, so you can watch it later as well. But as you are doing it, it will be appearing on Facebook.
But here's a problem. I'm in the witness protection program. I don't want to be seen. So what happens?
I don't know. Ask Ella if she probably has some ideas.
Can I wear
about that?
Wait, I have a ski mask. I'll wear the ski mask.
Good.
All right, so that's what we're going to do. When we go back to this Dragnet episode, I'm going to open up my Christmas present. It's a little late for Christmas.
You've mentioned that a few times.
This better be good, because this better be good. I'll tell you that
trust
right now.
Us.
It's
trust.
Very appropriate for you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get right back to Dragnet then, because I want to see what I have.
He's getting excited.
Very excited. It's a big box. Yeah.
I carried it.
Pretty good wrap job, too.
Thanks.
Thanks. I appreciate all the special attention of the wrapping paper. Of which there is none, and looking forward to seeing what you guys all pitched in and got me. All right, it's time for the conclusion now to Dragnet.
We left the office and we drove over to the address code 3. It was a small house set well back on the lot. When we got there, a felony car out of Hollywood Division had already arrived and the crime lab had been called. The victim was identified as a Mrs. Milo Hudson, age 42. An ambulance was dispatched from Hollywood Receiving Hospital, and she was given first aid. She'd been beaten about the head and shoulders. As soon as the attendants had finished, Frank and I talked to her.
If you'll just tell us what happened, please.
Awful thing. Most awful thing ever happened to me.
Yes, ma'am. Did you get a good look at the man?
Pretty good. Not real good, but I did see him.
Could you describe him for us?
How do you mean?
Well, how tall was he?
I guess about as tall as you.
Be about 5'11"?
If that's how tall you are.
Yes, ma'am. How about his weight? Was he heavy or light?
About like him.
That'd be about 180, huh?
I guess so. I don't know, but I guess that's about what it is.
What about his face? Did you see that?
Yes, sir. Got a good look.
You'd know him again if you saw him, would you?
I certainly would. Never forget that face. Not if I live to be 100, I'll never forget it.
Now, could you give us a good description of him?
Had dark hair, almost black, kind of curly. Little wave right here in front.
Mm-hmm.
Had blue eyes. Dark blue, might have been kind of hazel color. Dark.
Mm-hmm. Was he clean shaven?
You mean, did he have a mustache?
Yes, ma'am.
No, didn't have anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything about him that might make it easier for us to identify him?
I don't think I know what you mean.
Well, did he have any scars, any birthmarks, anything like that?
Let me think. Seems there was something, but I can't remember what.
This man say anything to you?
Not at first. When he came in, he didn't say a word, just pointed the gun at me and motioned back into the house, like he wanted me to get back there.
Uh-huh, but he did say something to you later, is that right?
Yes. When we got to the bedroom and he started to go through the place, I told him he better get out because my husband would be coming in any minute.
I see.
He smiled and said he knew George didn't get home till 4:30.
He used your husband's name, didn't he?
Yes. Come to think of it, he did. I didn't pay much attention to it before, but he did.
Do you think you ever saw that man before?
Not that I remember.
But you're sure you'd know him if you saw him again?
I sure would. See, I remember what it was about him.
Yes?
You know, you wanted something about him that'd make it easier to tell if he was the right man.
That's right.
He had a scar. Small one right here by his eye. Made it look like his left eye was real big. Gave him a funny look.
Mm-hmm.
That what you meant?
Yes, ma'am.
I wonder if you'd come down to the city hall and go through some pictures for us.
Well, I want to do everything I can to help. I'm supposed to check with my doctor. If he says it's all right, I'll be there. When would you want me?
Well, if you could make it in the morning.
If the doctor says it's all right, I'll be there.
Okay, thanks, Mrs. Hudson.
We can send a car for you if you like.
Might be better if you did. George likes to sleep late and I don't drive.
All right, ma'am, we'll call you in the morning.
Sure hope you can catch the person who's done this. Lord knows how many more people he's going to hurt.
Yes, ma'am.
Just seems to know all about people. When they're going to be alone and all, seems to know all about them.
Mm-hmm.
Knew right where everything in this house was all the way. Knew right down to a T.
You're sure you never saw him before, is that right?
Positive. You don't forget that kind of face. See it once and you remember it all your life.
Well, has there been anybody new in the neighborhood?
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, like any salesman, door-to-door canvassers, anything like that.
Residential neighborhood like this, there's always somebody around trying to sell something. Must be a couple of people a day come to the door. But I'm sure the man who hit me wasn't one of them.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Not at all, Sergeant. I want to do all I can to help you get him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea who he is, where to find him?
Not very much, Miss Hudson.
Terrible to think about it. Man like that roaming the streets. Woman isn't safe in her own home anymore.
We'll get to him, ma'am.
I should hope so. But what do we do in the meantime? Just sit here and wait for this lunatic to kick the doors down?
Well, we'll do everything we can.
Awful. I'll never forget how he came in here, shoved me around. Just never forget it.
Well, that makes you even.
What?
He won't either. We got out a supplemental broadcast carrying the description of the suspect, and then we continued to talk to the latest victim. She was unable to come up with any additional information. 4:30 a.m. The crew from the crime lab finished up their investigation, and Frank and I went back to the office. We left the description of the suspect at the stats office, and we asked R&I to check the oddity file for a possible identification on the scar that the suspect had. 5:21 a.m. We signed out of the office. The next day, at 9:26 a.m., we met with Chief Brown and Captain Donahoe, and we went over the case with them. Because of the method of operation used, it became apparent that the thief was acquainted with the habits of the people in the neighborhood. Two additional teams of men were assigned to the case, and they began to canvass the area for information on people who appeared to be loitering in the vicinity. It was also decided to assign three more police units to patrol the streets during the night hours. We checked all FI cards that had been filed in the area. That afternoon, Milo Hudson came down to the office and went through the mug books, but she was unable to make an identification. She was shown pictures of Tom Kieran, the husband of the first victim, but she stated positively that he was not the man who'd beaten her. The list of possibles came back from the stats office and was checked without result. A week went by. In spite of the additional men involved, the suspect hit three more times. In each case, the M.O. was the same. In each case, he escaped. However, we were able to get a little more information on him. We had the artist in crime analysis division draw up a composite picture of the suspect, and we had it distributed to all officers in the city. The daily papers ran it on their front pages. Thursday, January 24th, 5:20 p.m. Frank and I got back to the office from dinner.
I want to call Faye and tell her it looks like a late night.
All right, I'll check the book.
Anything?
No. We call her from Pinky.
Yeah?
He and Leitner talked to that magazine salesman.
Check out?
No. The guy just got in town a couple of days ago. Description's pretty far off.
Uh-huh.
I got it. Robbery Friday. Yes, ma'am, that's right. Mm-hmm. Well, we can take it. All right. What's that address again? Yes, that's Studio Court. Yes, ma'am, we'll be right out. No, don't do anything. If he wants to leave, don't try to stop him. That's right, we'll be right there. Woman out on Studio Court.
Yeah.
Says she thinks the suspect's in her house now. Frank and I left the office and drove over to the address we'd been given on the phone. As we pulled up in front of the house, we could see a man standing on the porch. We got out of the car and we went up the walk. At the front door, we met the woman who'd called. She said that the man had rung the doorbell and had tried to force his way into the house. She went on to say that her husband wasn't home and that she'd managed to stall the man until we got there. We took him back to the city hall and talked to him in the interrogation room. He identified himself as Victor Nadell. Frank went down the hall to run him through records and identification.
A lot of trouble you guys are causing me. No reason for all this.
What were you doing at that house?
Trying to earn a living.
You have to force your way in to do that?
That old broad's off her rocker. I didn't try to get into the place.
She says you did.
She's flipped.
What do you do for a living?
I work. You know another way?
What kind of work?
Salesman.
What do you sell?
Right now I'm selling lots.
Real estate?
Yeah.
Where?
Tract out in the desert.
Who do you work for?
I don't think I'm going to tell you that. You're not going to get them in no trouble.
We're going to find out anyway. Now, why don't you save yourself a lot of grief and tell us?
You get paid, you dig it out.
You ever been arrested?
A couple of times.
Where?
Oklahoma.
What for?
Call it hijacking.
Robbery?
Same thing.
You ever do any time?
No, they couldn't nail it down.
Where do you live?
Got a room down on East 5th. Room and privileges.
Who do you work for?
That's your job.
How long you been in town?
A couple of months.
You been working for this real estate company since you got here?
Yeah, I got the job a couple of days after I got off the train.
How'd you get it?
Answered an ad.
You ever see that woman out on Studio Court before?
No.
You don't know her?
I told you.
She'd have no reason to tie a bad beef on you, would she?
She's doing it, ain't she?
It's kind of silly without any reason in it.
Yeah, she's a woman. That's all I need.
All right, empty your pockets out on the table here.
Why?
Come on. We're not playing games here. Empty your pockets.
What's this all about? What are you guys trying to prove with all this strong
We're trying
stuff?
To find out why you wanted to break into that house.
I told you I didn't break into the house. That old harpy's out of her mind to tell you a thing like that. I don't know why, but she's got it in for me. Wants to see me get into trouble.
You said you didn't know her.
That's right.
You never saw her before.
That's
huh?
what I said.
And why'd she build a thing like this?
I told you I don't know. It's a lie. I walked up to the door and asked if I could talk to her. Just try to talk to her. Right away, she starts yelling at me to get away, get off the property.
Why didn't you leave then?
I wanted to make a sale.
You must have figured she wasn't interested.
I needed to make a sale. I haven't been doing too good. I had to make a sale or I'd have lost my job.
That's the reason to act like a tough guy, isn't it?
All I did was try to talk to her, talk her into buying a lot.
Well, you got a funny way of doing it.
I thought maybe she was going to call the police, make a complaint. If she'd have done that, I'd have lost my job, sure.
And that's all there is to it.
I'm telling you the truth. You got to believe me.
You been working the neighborhood before?
No, it's the first time. I've been kind of sick the last week. This is the first time out for me. First time I've been around here.
Where'd you work before?
Westlake area.
You ever have any trouble there?
No, none.
Why'd you make the switch then?
Just thought I'd try a new territory, see if I could make up for the week I lost.
Mm-hmm. You got anybody who'll back up this story for you?
People in my rooming house, I'll tell you. They'll say I was there all week, some kind of flu, they'll tell you.
Joe.
Yeah.
See you in a minute.
Yeah.
You want me to wait here?
That's right. Just sit there. What do you got?
Well, looks like we nailed the wrong guy.
What do you figure?
Call just came in. Radio car picked up a fella out on Rosewood Avenue.
Yeah.
Caught him in a house trying to beat a woman to death.
How about the description?
Matches the suspect right down the line.
Victor Nadell was booked in at the main jail pending further investigation. We were unable to connect him with any robbery, but Perry Thomas of the city attorney's office issued a complaint charging violation of section 415 of the penal code. At 7:46 p.m., the suspect we'd gotten a call about arrived at the city hall. He was fingerprinted and checked through R&I. We found that he'd served a year and a day in New York State for breaking and entering. He'd served a sentence in the state of Washington on similar charges. Physically, he matched the description we'd gotten from the victims. While Pinky Meade and Dee Leitner contacted the women and asked them to come down to the office, Frank and I questioned the suspect. Rudolph Marnell, is that your true name?
Yes, sir.
Where do you live?
My home's out in Hollywood.
It's a big place. Narrow it down, will you?
Ledgewood Drive, 2917.
You ever been arrested?
Yeah, you know that. It was a mistake, though.
Both times?
Well, the second time was because of the first.
What do you mean by that?
Now, once you've done time, it seems like anything goes wrong, the cops are on your back, just like this.
Mm-hmm. You want to tell us what happened out there tonight?
You mean on Rosewood?
That's right.
Big misunderstanding.
Well, you tell us about it, will you?
I wanted to use her phone. I don't know. I guess she got scared about something. All I wanted to do was make a call.
How'd you ask her?
Regular way. Told her I was in trouble. Asked if I could phone. Next thing I know, she's screaming up a storm. There's cops all around me.
According to this report, you didn't stop when you were told. Is that right?
I guess so.
Well, is it or isn't it?
Yeah.
Why'd you run?
Well, I didn't know what was going on. I got a record. I had enough to do with cops to last me the rest of my life. As soon as I heard the sirens, I took off. I guess I didn't hear that cop tell me to stop.
Yeah, kind of hard to believe.
Well, you believe the woman who says I tried to slug her. You believe her, but you don't believe me. You see, that's what I meant.
What's that?
Well, as soon as you fall once, there's a dozen cops right behind you all the time waiting to stomp on you.
You ever figure that you helped build it that way?
Well, it reads good, but you ain't got nobody on your tail.
All right. Now tell us again about tonight.
I told the cops who picked me up. I told the cop who fingerprinted me. I already told you once. Now, how many times you want to hear it?
Until we get it the right way.
Well, how are you going
to
know?
We'll find it. Come on, go down to the interrogation room. Go ahead. Down this way. Go ahead, right in there. Sit down. All right, Marnell, now let's clean it up.
What do you mean?
You know we're going to have no trouble making you on these things. We got the victims on their way down here now. As soon as they identify you, you've had it. So save yourself a lot of time and trouble if you cop out now.
I'd like to give you a hand, Sergeant. I really would, but there's nothing I can do. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. What were you doing on January 10th?
10th?
That's right.
What day was that?
Thursday.
Gee, I don't know. It's a long time ago. It's hard to remember.
How about the 11th?
Same. I don't remember.
The 14th?
Yeah, I can tell you about that.
All right, go ahead.
I got through work and went home. Met the wife. We had dinner and took in a show.
You can prove that?
Well, sure. Ask my wife. She'll tell you.
All right. How about Wednesday the 16th?
Blank.
You don't remember what you were doing on the 16th of January, huh?
No, is it important?
It's going to be for you. How about the 17th?
That'd be Thursday?
That's right.
I stayed home and watched the wrestling on television.
You can prove that, can you?
Sure, had some people in to watch the matches.
Give us their names, will you?
Yeah.
Who was wrestling that night?
Oh, you want them all or just the main?
Well, how about the semi-windup?
Let me think. Yeah, it was a tag team match between the McLean brothers and the South Twins.
You're sure?
I'm positive.
How about the 19th? What'd you do then?
19th. That would be
Saturday.
Well, I'm off Saturday. I don't remember too good. Probably came home, sat around the house, drank beer, and loafed.
Mm-hmm. That was Saturday the 19th.
Yeah, the 19th.
How about Monday the 21st?
I bowl that night.
Where?
Lane's out on Sunset.
Bowl there all the time?
Yeah.
You bowl every Monday night?
No, not every week. Usually it's on Tuesday.
Why'd you change this week?
Well, some of the guys couldn't make it Tuesday, so we changed the day.
Mm-hmm. Anything special to you about January 14th, 17th, 21st?
Now, what do you mean special?
Well, your birthday, your anniversary, something like that.
No.
Just regular days.
That's right.
Nothing to make them stand out.
No.
Then how come you can remember what you were doing on those days? You can't give us a story to fit January 10th, 11th, 16th, or 19th.
I don't know. What are you guys trying to get me to say? What are you trying to get at?
The truth.
Well, I'm giving it to you.
We can't see it.
How come you remember those days?
I don't know. I just do.
It's kind of funny. I couldn't remember what I was doing last week. I'd have to sit down and think about it.
You didn't even have to try to remember. You knew right away, didn't you?
Like it was important for you to remember.
You keep trying to build an alibi, don't you?
Look, you asked me where I was. I told you.
Let's have the names of the people you say you're with.
You going to talk to
them? That's right.
Well, maybe they won't remember.
I think they will.
But what happens if they don't?
Then you're in big trouble.
You're holding a lot of it right now.
Let's have the names.
Sure, I haven't got nothing to worry about. I'll give them to you.
Here's a pencil. Paper there.
I don't know all the addresses.
We'll look them up.
You're going to have to talk to them, huh?
Sure. What's the matter? You think they won't stand behind you?
No, it's not that.
Then what is it?
Well, just that they don't know I've done time. Maybe when they find out, they'll try to get me. You know, say they weren't with me, they might do that.
Yeah, like that woman tonight.
Yeah, just like that.
People don't like you much, do they, Marnell?
Hmm?
Seems like everybody's trying to get you in trouble.
I want a lawyer.
You want to check, Frank, see if the victims are here?
Yeah. Well, what's going
to
happen now?
Well, we got some people we want to see you.
Who are they?
The women you beat up.
No, you can't make me on those jobs.
We think we can.
Yeah, well, you just try. You take this thing into court, and they're going to throw it right out.
That's the way you got it figured, is it?
That's right.
Go ahead, Frank. Bring him in.
All right.
I said I want a lawyer.
What?
I said I want a lawyer.
Yeah, well, you'll get one.
Yeah, and a jury. I want a jury trial.
You got a choice.
You bet I have. You bring all these women down here to point me out, well, this isn't going to work. Bunch of people who don't like me, causing me trouble. People who don't like me. I want a jury trial, a judge and a jury.
All right, you'll get them. I'll make you a bet.
Hmm?
They won't like you either.
The story you have just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent. On May 16th, trial was held in Department 98, Superior Court of the State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of that trial. Rudolph August Marnell was filed on for 4 counts of robbery in the first degree, 5 counts of burglary in the first degree, and 5 counts of assault with intent to do great bodily injury. He was found guilty by a jury trial on all counts and received sentence as prescribed by law. Robbery in the first degree is punishable by imprisonment for a period of not less than 5 years. Burglary in the first degree is punishable by imprisonment for a period of not less than 5 years. Assault with intent to do great bodily harm is punishable by a term of from 1 to 20 years in the state penitentiary. Just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department. Technical advisors, Captain Jack Donahoe, Sergeant Marty Wynn, Sergeant Vance Brasher. Heard tonight were Ben Alexander, Virginia Gregg, Helen Cleve. Script by John Robinson. Music by Walter Schumann. Hal Gibney speaking. Watch an entirely different Dragnet case history each week on your local NBC television station. Please check your newspapers for the day and time.
That's Dragnet, May 11th, 1954. You heard at the end there, he was saying that if you stay tuned or later in the week, you can watch the Dragnet television show. So the show was simultaneously on television during the same week as radio. A lot of these shows that made the transition from radio to TV were on at the same time. They were on radio and TV right around this time, 1950s, early 1950s. All right, 12:08 on a Monday morning. Happy Monday, everybody. This hour, it's the Great Gildersleeve, going back to 1941. Wow. That was the year we entered World War II, 1941.
The year Carl was born.
Yeah. Gosh, I remember it like it was yesterday. Good Hal Perry starring episode. And then a little later, we will tune into a good international mystery on The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall from 10 years later, 1951. All of this brought to you in part by Cat's Pride. Dum, 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 dum,
dum, dum, dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars, produces, and directs the upcoming biographical comedy, The Masterpiece, based on the nonfiction book, The Disaster Artist.
Okay.
And the winner gets a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, the best deep dish pizza in Chicago.
I'd like a piece of that right now. Maybe if there's a Lou Malnati's listening, bring us a pizza.
Yes.
We'd be very happy.
There's a bunch of us in here.
We'll take a spinach.
Thank you.
Large spinach, please.
Extra large, please.
All right. So the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was one of the stars of 2008's Pineapple Express.
You know, I'm going to become something, man. As soon as she dies, I'm going to become a civil engineer. I'm going to design septic tanks for playgrounds.
All right. Who is that actor? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back. Wow, that was a big blast. We're excited to be here. This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
You know, I'm going to become something, man. As soon as she dies, I'm going to become a civil engineer. I'm going to design septic tanks for playgrounds.
I didn't see this movie, but we've got Jay on the line from Chicago. Hi, Jay. Did you see Pineapple Express?
Yeah, I did. It was pretty good, yeah.
Good. Well, who is that actor that we're talking about in there?
I'm guessing it's James Franco.
You are right, Jay. It is James Franco. We're so thrilled to give you the pizza that we are all drooling for here.
Yes,
it is at Lou Malnati's gift certificate, $25, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza.
Don't eat the gift certificate.
No, use it to get
a pizza.
We love the pizza. We hope you love it, too. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can order online at loumelnatis.com. And thank you so much for calling in, and we're so glad you had the right answer.
And I guess you could put some tomato
Thanks
sauce on it and Thanks some cheese.
Jay wants to know if you want to take
you
the gift certificate.
You could take the gift certificate, put a little tomato sauce on it and some cheese, but I still don't think it would be as good as the actual pizza.
No, probably not, no.
Yeah. All right, so enjoy that, my friend, okay?
You think of us, okay?
Thanks, buddy. We'll appreciate you listening. All right, it's time for The Great Gildersleeve. This was a very funny series, although my brother can't stand this show. My brother Vince, he's always like, don't play The Great Gildersleeve.
Then I think that's what we should play.
Right.
And we should make him listen to it.
My crabby brother Vince, he doesn't like Gildersleeve. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve was the character, and at first, first appeared on Fibber McGee and Molly. And then it spun off.
See, that's why I got the two of them confused.
Oh,
remember
right.
We were talking about we played a Fibber McGee and then
Well, you're
a
easily confused.
Not so much.
Yeah. So Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve started on Fibber McGee and Molly. Then he was so popular there that NBC said, look, let's spin you off into your own series. The very first time that a spinoff ever happened in the history of the world. What do you think of that, Lisa?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
All right. And so in 1941, it spun off for Kraft, as heard on NBC, and he moved from the town of Wistful Vista to Summerfield. He became the town's water commissioner and the town's most eligible bachelor because he was single. But he was raising what?
I say he's kind of like you.
Yeah. He was raising two kids. He was, but they weren't his kids. They were his niece and nephew. He also had a maid named Birdie that was helping him out a little bit. It was a very, very popular series.
Very progressive.
It was. And it made a transition to television in 1950, which ran until 1957. So, and actually, the TV versions, came on in 1955, ran to 1957. So we have an episode now starring Hal Perry. I love Hal Perry as Gildersleeve. And this is going back to October 19th, 1941, which was the first year it was on the air. This is only a couple of episodes really into the series. Sponsored by Kraft, which is, you used to handle the Kraft account.
I sure did.
Yeah, J. Walter Thompson.
I sure did.
I remember, see?
I sure did.
All right, here's part one now of The Great Gildersleeve.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. Each week at this time, Kraft presents from Hollywood, California, Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve, written by Leonard L. Levinson. And now let's visit our friend, the Great Gildersleeve.
Come on, wake up, Judge Hooker. Pay attention to your checkers. It's your move.
I know it, Gildersleeve. I was merely studying the board.
What, with your eyes closed? Let's speed this up. We haven't got all night here.
All right. There, 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 and there. Now crown me.
I'd love to, but I haven't got anything to do it with. Hooker, I don't see how you keep beating me, honestly. In fact, I don't think you do, honestly.
Gildersleeve, you're a pushover. You couldn't win a game from a backward baboon with a dozen checkers up your sleeve.
I could, too. I wouldn't need a dozen checkers. I'll show you, Hooker. Set them up again and pull in your belt, because this time I'm going to beat the hell out of Leroy. How are you tonight?
Hi, Uncle Mort. Hello,
Leroy.
Sam, can I?
Can you what, Leroy?
Well, I hate to keep pestering you about it, but can I see the circus tomorrow afternoon?
Not unless they happen to pitch the tent in the front yard of the Peter B. Flugelhammer Junior High School.
Is that where you go, Leroy?
Yeah, Flugy Junior High.
Say, I grew up with Peter B. Flugelhammer Sr. That's who the junior high school was named after.
Well, I thought the school was named after Peter B. Flugelhammer Jr.
No, Junior was the son of Senior after whom the junior high school was named. Poor Junior. He never could finish senior high.
Yo.
But gee, Uncle Mort, could you call up school and ask if I could skip tomorrow?
I did, Leroy. I even went so far as to predict that you wouldn't be feeling very well tomorrow.
What did they say?
They told me that an excuse for illness while the circus is in town must be accompanied by a note from your doctor.
Shucks, that's a heck of a note.
Yeah, yes. Well, there's no use grousing, young man. Remember, school must come first. Now sit down and get started with your homework.
Yes, Leroy, your homework, that's the thing that's going to count in later life, not going to the circus.
I don't think so, Judge, because in my later life I expect to be a lion tamer.
Oh?
You don't need any education for that. All you need is a kitchen chair and the right kind of breakfast food.
Well, yes. This lion taming is new, though. Last week you were going to become a pitcher with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh, that was last week.
Oh.
Gee, I wouldn't mind missing the circus so much, Uncle Mort, but I hate to see those passes go to waste.
Oh, did you get passes, Gildersleeve?
Did I get passes? Yes, sir. I've got certain connections.
Yeah, Uncle Mort guessed the right number of beans in that jar in the drugstore window.
Oh. Yes, I connected that time.
Gee, Uncle Mort, are you sure you can't take me?
I'm sorry, Leroy, but you'd better make up your mind to skip the circus.
Oh, gee, a guy can't get any fun out of life.
You know, Gildersleeve, sometimes I think our school system has become too scientific, too streamlined.
You're right, Judge. These days, everything is streamlined. Except me.
Yes. Things were a lot different in the days when I went to school.
What a memory.
I sat next to Petey Flugelhammer. That was long before he was elected lieutenant governor and then named the school after himself.
Oh.
We had none of this modern stuff like getting a doctor's prescription to go to the circus.
Yes, it was the same in my school days, too, Judge. Of course, I'm not as old as you are.
What do you mean, Gildersleeve? You were shaving when I was a little shaver.
I was not.
You were, too.
All right. I was always taught not to contradict my elders. Come to think of it, Judge, we kids used to have a lot more fun than modern children have. I can still remember some of the tricks we pulled at school.
So do I. Shenanigans, they were called.
Yes. I'll never forget the time I dropped a paper bag full of water on the Spanish teacher. Only it turned out to be the new athletic coach. And when he caught me, boy, was he athletic.
That's nothing. I once sneaked up behind Miss Pettibone's desk and tacked her dress to the floor. Kids don't do a thing like that these days.
Yeah, kids can't do a thing like that these days. Say, Judge, did you ever put eggs in the principal's umbrella?
No, did you?
Uh-huh. I had my own hen, and I saved eggs for a rainy day. I can still see him lifting that umbrella over his head.
Well, I put alum in the water pitcher at our graduation exercises.
Oh, that's a peachy stunt. What happened?
I didn't graduate.
Ah, yes, youth. Sometimes I wish I were a kid again, just so I could pull a few more of those cute little innocent juvenile pranks.
Well, they're a thing of the past.
Yeah.
I never hear of kids doing those things these days. Not enough imagination, I guess.
That's right. You know, I remember when a dog and pony show came to our town and all us kids made up our minds to go. You know how we got the afternoon off?
No, how?
Well, I climbed up on the schoolhouse roof and stuffed my coat into the chimney. Boy, I wish you could have seen that smoke pour in and those kids pour out.
Gildy, I'll bet you were a car.
Oh, that wasn't anything. Did I ever tell you about the time we smuggled the horse up in the bell tower at college?
No, Uncle Mort, tell us about it.
Well, I borrowed this. Leroy, I didn't know that you were still here.
Sure, you told me to do my homework. Say, did you ever do any homework, Uncle Mort?
Stacks of it.
Gee, when did you find the time? Didn't it interfere with your jokes?
Now see what you've done, Gildersleeve. Given the boy a wrong impression of our childhood.
Me? You started it, tacking teachers' skirts to the floor. And you, a superior court judge. Aren't you ashamed?
Well, how about you egging the principal on and trying to brain everybody with bags of water?
What do you mean, everybody? Just our Spanish teacher, Miss Olofsson, that's all. Now, Leroy, don't get us wrong. Judge Hooker and I were merely reminiscing about an era that doesn't exist anymore.
I'll say it doesn't. You couldn't get away with those corny gags today.
Those gags weren't corny, Leroy. They were mighty clever. Huh? Oh, yes. They were terrible. The big kids made me do them. I'm ashamed of myself. Aren't you, Judge Hooker?
Yes. I was a bad boy.
You see, Leroy?
Gee, you two treat me as if I was 12 years old.
You are 12 years old, Leroy.
Sure, I know, but I don't like to be treated that way.
You... You'll have to hurry, Marjorie, if you're going to the circus with me.
I'm almost ready. What's the rush, Uncle Mort?
Well, I'd like to get there on time for once. No matter when I start, it seems I always arrive in time to get caught in the opening procession. One year, a hippopotamus chased me around the ring twice, and I never did find my seat.
It's too bad Leroy couldn't get off from school to come with us.
Yes, the poor boy. Well, we'll bring him back a red balloon and a little whip with a tassel.
Hey, anybody home? Hi.
Leroy!
Gee, I'm glad I caught you before you left for the circus.
Well, Leroy, what are you doing home at this hour?
School was dismissed just now. Come on, let's go to the circus.
By the way, Leroy, why were classes dismissed?
Well, you might call it an accident.
Accident? What was the accident?
Oh, nothing serious.
Then what was it?
Oh, it seems they had to get all the students out quick on account of all the rooms had to be aired out.
Aired out? They did? Why?
Well, nobody knows for sure exactly, but the general opinion is that somehow or other, a skunk got into the air conditioning system.
Oh!
Circus swell.
Mm-hmm. Best I've ever seen.
How did you like the fellow who did the swan dive into the tank of burning gasoline, Uncle Mort?
I liked him, but I don't think Secretary Icky's would. Leroy, there's something that's been troubling me. It's that skunk in your school.
You mean Mr. Proctor, the principal?
No, Leroy! The one that got into the air conditioning system. Do you happen to know how it got in there?
No, I don't. Say, remember the tiger that rode on the elephant's back? How did they train him to do that, Uncle Mort?
Oh, with kindness, I suppose. Leroy, did you happen to have anything to do with it?
With the tiger, Uncle Mort?
No, the skunk!
That wasn't a skunk, Uncle. It was a tiger. Tigers and skunks have different kinds of stripes.
I know they have. I'm talking about school.
But, you know, I've been thinking. Isn't it a strange coincidence that this accident occurred on the day the circus came to town?
Yeah, funny, ain't it? Say, Uncle Mort, what do you think would happen if when the lion tamer had his head in the lion's mouth, the lion suddenly had a sneeze?
Well, I don't think anyone would say gesundheit. Now, Leroy, I hope that nothing Judge Hooker and I said about our school day pranks caused you to try to imitate us.
Oh, no, sir.
You understand, we were just talking about old times.
Yes, sir, like Judge Hooker says. That's about all you old timers have got left, your memories.
Yeah, what did you say? Good afternoon, Bertie. Is Leroy home from school yet?
Well, let me look in the refrigerator. No, sir.
Did you expect to find him in there?
No, but I can tell if he's here by what ain't.
Well, maybe he wasn't hungry this afternoon.
That boy? Why, he's nothing but appetite held together by skin and bones. Oh, what's the matter?
Well, there's a lot of strange things going on at Leroy's school, and I'm afraid that maybe I'm partly to blame.
How come you messing around the school? Is you one of them pants teachers?
No, it's just that Judge Hooker and I were talking about some little pranks we used to play when we were in school. A little harmless things, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, Leroy happened to overhear us, and now I'm afraid he's showing us the modern versions with the chromium trimmings.
Uh-huh. What makes you think little Leroy's doing fumadiddles?
Well, did you read the afternoon paper?
No, sir. Never gets to me till the following morning.
Oh, yes. Well, I've got it right here. Listen to this. Juvenile joker startles school. Police were called early today to investigate a large, stout lady's body seen suspended from the window of Principal Pulteney Proctor at Flugelhammer Junior High School.
Oh, who was it, Miss Proctor?
Yes. No, but listen. Closer inspection revealed that the body was a dummy, stuffed with old football pads, wearing a green and purple silk dress, size 48.
Green and purple silk? Size 48?
Yeah.
Sounds like my Sunday go-to-meeting dress. The one that was kidnapped off the clothesline last night.
Yes, doesn't it?
Well, what's my dress doing in the newspaper?
I don't know, Bertie. Shh, Bertie, here comes Leroy.
Do you think he did it?
Shh.
Afternoon, Uncle Mort. Hiya, Bertie. Say, is this your old dress?
That's my new dress, Leroy, and what you doing with it?
Why, Piggy Banks just gave it to me. He says the wind must have blown it over into his yard. He found it under a window.
Young man, isn't this the dress that was hanging out of Mr. Proctor's window this morning?
You mean on the dummy that was suspended from school? Well, how could it be if it belongs to Bertie?
What do you think, Bertie?
I ain't saying nothing. I'm only too glad to get my dress back without paying ransom. I'm going to hide it this time.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. Look, Leroy, don't think of me just as your uncle and your guardian. Think of me as your pal. Your buddy. Now, if there's anything that's troubling your little mind, why don't you just come right out with it?
Well, okay, Unc. There is something that's been bothering me.
I understand. Go right ahead, my boy. What is it?
Well, how did you ever get that horse up into the bell tower at college?
Oh!
All right, that's the first portion of The Great Gildersleeve, October 19th, 1941. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. First, this break. All right, it is 12:36 on a Monday morning. Hopefully, everyone listening has signed up to freeradioclassics.com. If they haven't, then they're not going to get the classic radio show we send out every Monday. So every single Monday, we send an email that has an embedded classic radio show absolutely free to all of our listeners. It's a way of thanking you for being a listener to this radio show. And all you have to do is go to freeradioclassics.com, put your name and your email address, and you'll start getting an email from me every single Monday. And not only does it have an embedded classic radio show, it has a picture of who's ever in that radio show. Like, so if it's a Jack Benny show, you'll get a picture of Jack Benny. There's a synopsis. There's the broadcast date. There's other fun things in there as well. So sign up to freeradioclassics.com. And you know what else, Lisa? And you know what else, Elif? I spent the last couple of years producing a celebrity-voiced audio Bible. And I finished the New Testament portion. I'm going to be producing the Old Testament next. The New Testament, this is fully dramatized. It's a radio drama of the Bible. It's called the Breathe Audio Bible, Breathe Audio Bible. And it has people like Ashley Judd in it and Kevin Sorbo and Josh Lucas and John Rhys Davies and Christian Stolte, a Chicago actor who's on Chicago Fire, plays Luke. And if you go to the website, so everyone listening, if you go to the website, which is breathebible.com, so it's B-R-E-A-T-H-E, bible.com, you can download the entire book of Luke. It's about 2.5 hours. You can download that to any listening device, and you will hear the complete book of Luke, and you'll hear Ashley Judd as Mary Magdalene, and all of these other wonderful actors. And somewhere in that two-hour audio appears Lisa Wolf. Not sure what role you play, Lisa.
I know.
She came in and, you know, and played a role.
Did
I
my
can't
thing.
Remember what it is.
And nor can I.
But you know what? I bet you our listeners will be able to hear this two-hour book of Luke and pick you out. I'll bet you.
It was a female voice. I will give you that.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I was sad.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
It was were you like lady by the well or something? Woman by the well? No, I don't think you were.
No.
But anyway, I would love it if our listeners went to Breathe, B-R-E-A-T-H-E, Bible.com, and check out this project. There's all kinds of information. You can hear clips of everybody talking, and there's all this great information. The actual CD set will be in stores everywhere March 7th. But you can download the free book of Luke. You can also download the whole audio, the whole 22-hour audio for, I believe it's $29.99. The CD set will be $49.99, and you can get that in stores beginning March 7th. But get the free book of Luke because I think you'll really enjoy it. Right, Lisa?
Okay.
Thanks for being in it, by the way, Lisa.
You are welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for asking.
All right. It's time for the conclusion now of The Great Gildersleeve.
The reason I asked you to come here tonight, Judge Hooker, is because you and I are turning Leroy's school topsy-turvy.
Why, I haven't been near the place.
We've been doing it by remote control. Remember how we shot off our mouths in front of Leroy about our school day monkey shines?
Yes, and say, I just remembered another one.
Forget it. Leroy has been up to all our old tricks.
Oh, his teachers have caught him, huh?
No, that kid's smarter than we were. But we got to stop him from going on with him.
Well, maybe if I gave him a little lecture.
Hooker, you don't understand children. That wouldn't work at all. We've got to pretend we don't know what's going on.
That shouldn't be hard for you to do.
When Leroy comes in, that'll be our cue to start casually chatting about the evils of practical joking. Yeah. Subtle propaganda, you know. How about it, Hooker?
We can try it. Too bad this whole thing had to happen. You know, Gildersleeve, it would never have started if you hadn't opened your fat face.
Me? Why, it was you that started it, you little travesty on justice.
Is that so? Why, Gildersleeve, if you had the intelligence of a jackass. But no, why should I daydream? There's no use arguing with you.
Why not?
Because I don't argue with blubberheads.
Well, I do, you blubberhead. Just because you're a judge, do you think? No, I can answer that myself. You don't think.
Don't you provoke me, you big wad of wind.
Oh, that settles it. I'm going to lambaste you with...
Oh, excuse me, I didn't think...
Come right in, Leroy. I was just telling Judge Hooker how to baste a lamb. Wasn't I, Judge Hooker?
Huh? Yes. Don't let us disturb you, Leroy, my boy. Go right ahead and do your homework. Just pay no attention to us.
I won't.
As we were saying, Judge, don't you think that juvenile delinquency often starts with some innocent boyish prank?
When were we saying that? Of course, Gildersleeve. Quite often a young fella starts out for a lark and winds up in a cage. How's that?
Oh, Judge. Then you think that practical joking can lead to serious consequences?
Surely. Yeah. It starts out with a fella dipping girls' pigtails into inkwells, and then he becomes bored with that and puts firecrackers in the coal scuttle.
Yes, or water in the teacher's galoshes, and then setting them out to freeze.
Never heard of that one before.
Huh?
That's only good in real cold weather.
Well, in summertime, you can always put flypaper on all the chairs.
Yeah. With the words kick me printed on the back. Say, I did that when I was in fourth grade. You should have seen the fun at recess.
You know, I used to hunt for frogs during recess and put them all in the lunchboxes. Once I made a mistake and put one in my own lunchbox.
Did I tell you about the time that I snagged our principal's wig with a fish pole and then hoisted it to the top of the flagpole?
Oh, boy. I wish I could have seen... Oh, my goodness. What have we been saying?
Huh?
Leroy, don't you pay any attention to this old... Say, where is Leroy?
I don't know. You said pretend he wasn't here, and by George, he isn't.
Yes, and a lucky thing, too. How did we ever get started talking like that again?
I remember distinctly. You began it, Gildersleeve.
Me? Why, you feeble little fuddle-headed fuddy-duddy.
Smile when you say that, Gildersleeve.
Smile? I'll laugh right out loud.
Hello, Marjorie.
Hello, Pierpont.
I came to see Meatball.
Who?
Meatball. You know, Leroy. Only you don't like us kids to call him Leroy anymore. Like I don't like to be called Pierpont.
All right, Piggy. Come on in. Oh, Leroy. Piggy Banks is here to see you.
Come on to the library, Pig.
It's right that way.
Thanks.
Well, come on in. Don't be bashful.
But your uncle, that's him behind that newspaper, ain't it? What's the matter with him?
Oh, nothing. He always does that after dinner. He's digesting his food.
Oh. Ain't we going to disturb him?
No, we had roast beef and potatoes for dinner. Nothing will bother him for another hour at least. Now, let's get going on that history stuff.
Well, I know Miss Keller's going to ask us about the vice presidents tomorrow.
You sure?
Sure, I'm sure. She's going through the book exactly the way she did last year, the first time I took the course.
Okay, I think I got it memorized. But is she going to ask us the names of all the vice presidents?
She did last year. I kept a diary.
All right, but gee, what a question to ask. Well, you check the list and see if I get them right.
Sure.
John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Aaron Burr.
You said that. Say, Meatball, what do you think of the stuff that's been pulled off at school lately?
Well, I don't know. What do you think of it?
Oh, I don't know. Have any idea who's doing it?
Gee, I don't know. You got any idea?
Well, I don't know. Who do you think?
I don't know. Let's get back to the vice president.
Okay. Shoot.
John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Aaron Burr. Say, I wonder who put the iron sulfide in Miss Keller's inkwell.
How'd you know it was iron sulfide, Meatball?
Shucks, anybody knows that's the stuff that puts the smell in inkwell. You know who pulled that one, Peggy?
Let's get back to vice presidents.
Okay. John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Aaron Burr. I don't know what good knowing the vice presidents is going to do a guy who's going to be a stuntman in the movies.
I thought you were going to be a lion tamer.
Well, lion taming's just one of the stunts I'm going to do.
Talking about stunts, did you hear about the one somebody just pulled tonight over in the schoolyard?
Which one's that?
Ah, I bet you know about it already.
Well, maybe I do and maybe I don't. I ain't saying. What are you talking about?
Oh, about what they did to old man Flugelhammer's statue. Somebody dressed him up in a set of red flannel underwear and a corset.
No kidding.
Yeah. Boy, if they ever find out who did that, they'd be expelled from school pronto, I bet.
Let's get on with the vice presidents, Pig.
All right. Say, could I borrow a glass of water? We had corned beef for dinner.
Sure. Come on out in the kitchen. I'll get it for you.
Boy, wait till Mr. Proctor sees the willies on Floogie.
Did I hear right? Red flannels and a corset on Floogie? Or was I just dreaming? No, there's Piggy Banks' hat. It's true. Oh, let me think. Yes, that's what I'll have to do. Yes, six. Hooker's just as much to blame as I am. I can't let Leroy be expelled. Hello, Judge. This is Gildersleeve. You got to help me with something. I can't explain now, but I'll pick you up in about 10 minutes. We got a date with an old schoolmate of yours.
You sure this is the right part of the schoolyard?
Why, of course.
Not so loud, Gildersleeve.
Oh.
I'm a superior court judge. Can you picture what would happen if I'm caught?
Yes, scandalous, isn't it?
Oh, why do I let you get me into situations like this?
Because you haven't got any more brains than I have.
And where in the name of Gutzenborglum is that statue? Never mind, I found it.
Yeah, that's Flugelhammer up there. Flannels, corsets, and all.
Let's not hang around here all night, Gildersleeve. Come on, I'll boost you up.
Well, wait a minute, I'll take this top coat off.
All right.
Yeah, there, that's better. All right, get down now. Upsie daisy.
Oh, my poor back. You'll cave it in.
Push my other foot up, Judge.
I will if you take it out of my hip pocket.
Yeah, there. Is that better?
No. Ow, now it's in my ear.
Well, in one ear, not the other.
Gildersleeve, get up there.
Okay. Uh-oh.
What's wrong?
Judge, do you notice a sudden cold wind?
No, can't say that I do. Which way is it coming?
Up. Judge, hold my feet so I won't fall.
I got him. You're all right, solid as a rock.
No, you're holding Pete's feet.
What?
The flat-footed Flugelhammer. Yeah, that's better. Now I can get to work. I wonder where Leroy ever found this corset.
Make it snappy, Gildersleeve. Who do you think you are, Gypsy Rose Lee?
Yep. Okay, I've got it now. Here, catch it, Judge.
Hurry up before somebody catches us.
All right. Hey, Leroy must have sewn this underwear on. I never knew the little rascal could sew.
How's it coming, Gildy?
Just another second. Cut out that whistling, Judge.
I'm not whistling. That must be the night watchman.
Ooh.
Come on, rip it off. Let's scram.
Okay, head for the car, Judge. This way, Judge.
Quit calling me Judge, Gildersleeve.
Oh, they're at you.
Don't you believe him, Gildy?
Oh! Scatter, Judge, scatter. I'll meet you at the drugstore.
I wonder why the principal sent for us, Uncle Mort.
Well, now, you let me handle the whole thing, Marjorie.
Do you think that Leroy might be in some trouble?
Well, I didn't want to tell you, Marjorie, but your brother has turned his school into a midget version of Hell's a-poppin'.
Leroy? But he had had such a fine record.
He had, until he heard Judge Hooker and me brag about the foolish antics we performed as children. Oh, I hang my head when I think of it. And I'd like to hang the judges, too.
Oh, now, Uncle Mort, it can't be that serious.
No? Well, come on. You'll see. You know, after all, boys will be boys. Leroy is just a bit high-spirited. And what's wrong with that, sir? You were a boy once yourself, weren't you?
Me? No.
I was talking to the principal. Rehearsing, I mean. After you, my dear. Yes. Look at George Washington and the cherry tree. Just high spirits? Washington was a boy, too. We were all boys.
Uncle, are you all right?
Of course I am. No, I'm not. It's been a long, long time since I was called to the principal's office, but I still get that old feeling.
Me, too.
Yeah.
Well, brace up, Uncle Mort. Here we are.
Okay, let's go in. Hope he doesn't make us stay after school, Marjorie. Mr. Proctor?
Yes?
I'm Leroy Forrester's uncle, and this is his sister, Marjorie.
Well, I'm glad to see you, too. I want to talk to you about that young man.
Yes, I know, Mr. Proctor. Really, he's a fine boy at heart.
I realize that. There's something I want to tell you.
Sure, but you were a boy once yourself, weren't you, Mr. Proctor?
Of course I was.
You see, Marjorie, didn't I tell you? Mr. Proctor was a boy once himself. Probably high-spirited, too.
Surely. Now, about your nephew.
I hope you're not going to be harsh with him.
But why should I be, Mr. Forrester?
Excuse me, my name's Gildersleeve. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Did you say Gildersleeve?
Yes. Did I say something wrong? That happens to be my name.
And does that happen to be your top coat hanging on that hook?
Where? Yes. How did it happen to get here?
Last night, that coat with your name in it was found by our night watchman.
Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. I just remembered a dental appointment.
One moment. Here's something else that belongs to you. Your red flannel underwear and your corset.
Corset?
What? Uncle Mort! I don't understand.
Neither does Mr. Proctor.
I understand only too well. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? A grown man. A big, fat, grown man. Going around at night putting union suits on statues.
Uncle Mort, what is this? Now, can't you explain?
Sure, if I can get a word in edgewise.
Actions speak louder than words, Gildersleeve. It's a lucky thing for you that Leroy Forrester is your nephew.
It is?
Yes. I'd expose you in a minute. But I don't want to spoil Leroy's big day.
Leroy's big day?
Oh, what has he done now?
That's why I sent for you. Today, he's going to be presented with the Chamber of Commerce Medal as the outstanding student in Flugelhammer Junior High School.
What? Leroy? Well, I knew it all along. That's a beautiful medal, Leroy, and I'm mighty proud of you. But won't you answer just one question for me, my boy?
What is it, Unc?
Who was responsible for all those escapades around your school?
Now, Uncle Mort, I positively don't know. What's more, I don't want to know. And then, even if I did know, you don't think I'd squeal on my pal Piggy, do you?
You're a bright boy, Leroy. Good night.
Original music heard on this program was composed and conducted by William Randolph. This is Jim Bannon speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to be with us again next week at the same time for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
There's the familiar NBC chimes on The Great Gildersleeve, October 19th, 1941. School pranks. Hal Perry as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve and Walter Tetley as Leroy on that, as heard on NBC, sponsored by Kraft. Hope you enjoyed The Great Gildersleeve. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. 6 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, Lisa, you're, she's awake, Ella. For once, she's awake.
Yeah,
I don't have to.
Yeah, I'm usually just half asleep all night. While you're all perky.
She's usually in a fetal position there on the couch in the green room.
You must have
this music
confused.
Is fitting.
I'm like, Lisa, we're on
Ella's
the air.
Ella's trying to keep Carl awake because he didn't have his beauty sleep today.
Yeah, I didn't get much sleep.
I can tell.
That's some drama. There was some drama at my house.
Well, there's always
drama. I'm not
going to
get into it, but there was some drama.
Yeah.
So
with kids, there's drama.
Man, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Kids are a pain. They can be, at least.
They certainly can.
They can really be a pain.
I can only imagine what you were like as a kid.
I was a model student.
I bet.
Model son.
Oh,
I never gave my parents any trouble
at all.
I'm going
to have to talk to your mom about that one.
I was like vanilla.
Why do I not believe you?
Yeah, no, I was.
I don't believe you.
Good boy.
Mm-hmm.
I was.
What happened?
Never gotten any job. Well, that's the thing. You know, I was so good the whole time growing up that now that I'm...
an adult, sort of?
Well, I'm not sort really. Of? I'm really not an adult.
No, I've noticed that.
That I, you know, I've gone a little boing, you know, a little cuckoo, cuckoo, you know.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But kids are tough. Kids are a hassle. I love my kids, but man, they're a lot of work. Let me tell you.
Well, some are more difficult than others.
You have four. Oh, my
I do.
Gosh. You need a hobby.
It's a lot of kids.
You should have had a hobby.
Should have had a hobby
should've
a few years back.
Should have took up
back.
Knitting or something.
Right. That would have
right?
been good.
Yeah. All right. In this hour, it's The Man Called X. And I think we should produce a show, The Lady Called X. Would it be The Lady or The Woman? Yeah,
ooh,
The
I'll
Woman
go with
Called.
The Woman.
The Woman
sounds
Called.
More mysterious.
I think that would be... Why didn't they have that? Man Called X was popular.
Right.
Woman Called X.
Right, you mentioned that.
Right?
Right.
I think we should start a movement.
So wait, you want a Woman Called X?
Yeah,
and
I want
you
a
want,
woman.
And, okay.
I think we should do a radio show called The Woman Called X.
And Jane Bond.
And produce movies called Jane Bond.
Okay.
The Jane Bond movies.
I think that's a great idea.
As I say, if Margot Robbie was the star.
As I say.
First in line to buy a ticket. And you could charge me extra.
Oh, I will.
This Hour Man Called X, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as a biologist who signs up for a dangerous expedition in the upcoming sci-fi thriller Annihilation.
She could play the Woman Called X.
She sure could.
Right?
And if you are the winner, you get a pair of tickets to see I Left My Heart, A Salute to the Music of Tony Bennett, playing
starring
at the Mercury.
Carl Amari.
Starring Carl Amari as Tony Bennett, playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago. It's running from January 27th through March 5th.
And we have the same hair color. I mean, that's all I need
you
to
do. You actually look a lot
a little
like
bit
him.
Like,
no,
yeah.
A lot like him.
Tony
you could
Bennett.
Be a twin.
Yeah.
If you only had the same talent as him, we'd be in good shape.
Man, he's a good singer.
He's certainly, you
he's
know what?
He's even better than me.
The thing is, he can still sing. He goes to Ravinia every summer.
Yeah?
Yeah? You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
What?
Why are you squinting
say that again?
Your eyes?
I didn't hear you. What?
Okay, forget
sorry,
it.
There's a lot of things going on here.
Okay.
What?
Anywho.
No, say it again.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Guys, you're
all right.
You're tough,
so
Lisa.
Give us a call, 312-981-7200, and tell us who this actress is.
All right. So 312-981-7200. And here's a hint. This actress starred as someone.
As someone.
I never saw this movie. In 2005's Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith.
And my own hint is I've been told I look like her.
Ah, that's
you might
right.
not know. What
you
I
might
look
not
like.
Notice.
Yeah, she does.
Well, she is a beautiful woman,
play.
And so are you.
Yeah, play the clip.
Thank you.
Something wonderful has happened. Annie, I'm pregnant.
See, she should have had a hobby also.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you know who that actress is? 312-981-7200. Win tickets to see Tony Bennett singing. It's not really Tony Bennett.
No, it won't be him. It's called I Left
Mercury
My
Theater.
Heart. It's a salute to the music of Tony Bennett.
Awesome. All right. Call us now. We'll find our winner after these words.
We're back and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Elif, you're going to play that again for us.
Something wonderful has happened. Annie, I'm pregnant.
Let's talk to Dan from, what is that,
Genoa City.
It's not Genoa, Genova?
Genova.
Genova City.
Oh.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, it's pronounced Genoa City.
Oh, Genoa, see? All right, Genoa. Well, we all learned something. Where is that?
It's just 8 miles south of Lake Geneva.
Oh, how nice. It's probably beautiful there this time of year.
It is. It's cold, but...
yeah, I know how that feels. So, Dan, tell us who that beautiful actress is that looks just like Elif, our producer.
Natalie Portman, Twilight Zone.
Yes, Natalie Portman. That is right. Natalie Portman is right. And we are thrilled to give you a pair of tickets to see I Left My Heart, a salute to the music of Tony Bennett, playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago. It's playing from January 27th through March 5th. And it's a journey down memory lane in this new musical. And it's a review. And it features Tony Bennett's greatest hits. So we hope that you enjoy that show. I will be there for opening. So I will let everybody know how wonderful it is.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. Thank you very
Excellent.
Much.
Excellent. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. All right. So Dan is a big winner, and he wants to hear Twilight Zone. We'll play a Twilight Zone soon.
Yeah, here. We've had a few people asking for Twilight Zone. All so right. We'll see if we can find one of those.
We'll be happy to do that.
We'll be happy to do that.
And I'm happy to play The Man Called X right now. It's a secret agent series, and debonair British actor Herbert Marshall starred as FBI secret agent Ken Thurston. Our government dispatched him to dangerous locales all over the world to fight our enemies. And Leon Belasco played Mr. X's assistant, Pagan Zeldschmidt. It debuted over CBS in 1944, lasted until 1952. And in 1956, a syndicated television series starring Barry Sullivan hit the video airwaves, Lisa Wolf. So this was also made the leap to television. All right, time now for The Missing Papers. This stars Herbert Marshall from March 31st, 1951. Here's part one of The Man Called X.
Now we present Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X. Marshall as The Man Called X. Wherever there's mystery, intrigue, romance, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find The Man Called X. Changes and Ireland with it. And today, Dublin Airport is a regular stopover for the transatlantic planes from England. Terrace halls have crumbled, the Normans are forgotten, and the rebels gone to their destinies. But one thing still remains, violence.
I hardly see the necessity of going any farther away from the main waiting room, Monsieur Boucher. You know, I'm not supposed to be separated from the guards who are traveling with me.
Well, I can understand that, considering what you're carrying, and that's why I want to speak to you alone.
But isn't this far enough? We're out of sight from everyone.
Yes, I know. Seal, metal case, handcuffed to your wrist. Highly secret papers, huh?
The British government really didn't see fit to confide in me. Now, you were going to tell me about...
Yes, about the plot to waylay and rob you. Yeah. Well, it's simply a matter of this. The plot was mine, my stupid little messenger. And as for the clever little trick of handcuffing the container to your wrist, well... Thank you very much.
Well, now, I certainly can't think why he might come down here, but we've surely looked every other place for him, and I think... Huh? They're down there on the floor. Danny, don't let anybody in the corridor. And get a doctor. Hurry!
I've just talked with the British Security Office by transatlantic phone, Chief.
Yeah?
It's been almost 48 hours and they don't have a single lead yet.
Okay, Ken, I know what you're driving at. You want to get into the case yourself, right?
Chief, is there any other case more important at the moment?
Yeah, no. A complete set of progress reports from the British Atomic Energy Commission in the hands of somebody.
And so far, nothing's been done to get them back, right?
Well, apparently not. At least not with any success.
And that passenger, Boucher, if that's his name... He's still missing, right, Chief?
Well, he seems to have disappeared.
Dublin's not an easy city to hide out in unless you've made plans ahead of time. Don't you agree?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact. Wait a minute, Ken. I started out asking the question.
Chief, I'm going to Dublin.
Hmm. Well, in that case, you better use the reservation I made for you on this afternoon's plane.
Well, I'll be...
Ben, those reports are being sent to Oak Ridge. Some of the secret material in them would... Well, get them back, that's all.
Not quite all. I want Boucher along with the reports. Take someone pretty cold-blooded to steal a handcuffed dispatch case by cutting off their hand. Seat 14 should be about... Fagon!
Huh?
What are you doing on this plane?
Mr. X?
You're going to Dublin, too?
Too? You mean you are? Oh, no. Why do you say like that?
Fagon, when you're happy to see me, it means you're not broke. And when you're not broke, you're usually mixed up in something crooked.
Mr. Thurston, honest, I swear by the father of my
father... Now, since you're going to Dublin, it might be the same thing I'm interested in.
I knew it. I knew it the second I saw you. I knew you were going to louse up the whole act.
Act what act, Fagon?
Act? That is what I mean is... Act? What act?
I beg your pardon, Fagon, you too.
Zora, oh.
So I'm going to have competition, huh?
Competition? Yeah, well, I'll see you, Zora, around somewhere.
Fagon, aren't you going to introduce me?
Well, you know, this, I mean, well...
I'm Ken Thurston, Miss...
Dane, Zora Dane, how do you do?
Good.
Well, all flying to Dublin. And are you also going to the Blue Unicorn Inn, Mr. Thurston?
Well,
Oh, no, Zora, no, he always stays at the Sherburne. I mean, I guess he does. He's only a casualty acquaintance, you understand?
Of course I'm going to the Blue Unicorn.
Oh.
After all, where else?
Maybe you'd like to change your mind and go to the Sherburne after lunch. I'll be only too happy to carry your bag.
Oh, thanks, Pagan. I imagine the Blue Unicorn is all right.
But that's not the point, Mr. X. What I mean is...
Look, maybe if you explained your problem, whatever it was you were scared to talk about on the plane with Zora around.
Oh, what's the use? I'm a gone goose anyway. You look.
Here, against the building. It's too dark to go after them. All right, Pagan, let's have it straight. Now, fast. What about this Blue Unicorn? What's the setup?
Well, I only heard about this deal from Uncle Ahmed, and he only heard accidentally. A rumor, you understand?
Yeah, I know. Underworld grapevine. Go on.
Well, the way you heard it, some stolen papers were going to be sold at this highest bidder here at this Blue Unicorn, and, well, I was only going to investigate it and then tell you.
You were going to make a crooked buck if you could figure some angle. What about this Zora Dane? Is that a real name?
I don't know.
Ever hear of a man named Boucher?
Mr. Thurston, I've told you everything I know now. So why can't we act like strangers, huh? It's not even safe to be around you.
Pagan, what makes you think that shot was meant for me?
Well, there's nobody else here but just you and...
Sure. You're a potential competitor, aren't you? Stranger?
Stranger, nothing, Mr. X. From now on, I'm going to stick to you closer than a couple of wet blankets.
Welcome to the Blue Unicorn, Mr. Thurston. Mr. Zellschmidt.
Hello.
My name's Jensen. Now, just put your names down in the book here, and I'll have the boys show you up to your rooms.
Good.
Amazing the way the guests have been finding my little place. Just opened a few days ago, and there are four here already. And now you two.
Mm.
The Blue Unicorn has been closed for 2 years, you know. Belongs to a fellow here in Dublin named Carrigan. I just leased it from him last week.
Uh-huh.
They told me I'd go broke with it, but I figure a good cook can always bring business to an inn.
It might be a good idea to try some of your cooking right now, Mr. Jensen. We came straight from the plane. We haven't eaten.
Well, it's a little past the dinner hour, Mr. Thurston.
Oh, but that shouldn't be any problem for a good cook.
And it isn't. As a matter of fact, I served one of my specialties tonight, and there's some left over.
Irish stew.
No, it's a fricassee. And, gentlemen, until you've tasted Jensen's chicken fricassee, you haven't lived.
All right, Mr. Jensen, let's start living.
All right. you're talking about making food, Lisa. I know that you're really, really good at that. You're excellent
at making food.
You're excellent at picking up the phone and dialing food in.
Yes, I am.
Right?
I'll take that.
Lisa invited me to her house to see her new house, Elif. And I'm like, oh, so what do you, and she's like, oh, I'll, don't worry, it'll be good. I got there and she ordered Chinese.
Well, if you want to know the truth, I offered to make something.
And I was like,
and
nah,
you said, no, actually, could you just order Chinese? And I said, sure.
Well, here's what happened. She said, hey, would you like me to make something? And I said, are there any hospitals near your place?
But a bump.
Oh, wait, hang on.
I fail to see the humor.
Yeah, and so...
Yeah.
But I will say this. Whatever Chinese place you ordered from, very good.
Well, I think it just tasted good because it was at my house.
Yeah. It was very, very good. But I haven't been invited back since.
Well,
so
I've only
been to your
house.
I brought a bottle of wine, I believe.
No, you did not.
What did I bring?
You were supposed to bring dessert, and you brought nothing.
No way.
Zilch.
I have never...
Zero.
Hang on a second.
I swear.
Hang on one second. I have never in the history of my life been invited somewhere and not shown up bringing something.
I am
something.
So sorry. You know
I
what happened?
Really?
You told me it took you like hours to get there. You had to go out of the way and
so
pick
I pulled
someone
a,
up.
A excuse.
And it was a Friday and you pulled an excuse
I have
and you
never,
were supposed to bring something.
I have
you
never
didn't.
Showed up at somebody's
well, I'm
house
sorry, but,
and not brought something.
Well, then you are not telling the truth.
Well, maybe I just brought my appetite.
That well, you did.
Knowing Carl, though, from the 7-8 months that I've known him, you don't seem like you would go empty-handed to
no,
someone's house.
No, never. That's a cardinal
sin. Unfortunately,
it
happened,
you don't show up at somebody's house.
So I do believe the excuses.
Okay, yeah, because that's really weird. I didn't bring something?
No.
What a cheapskate
right?
I am. Although I did give you two really nice tables for the house.
Yes, you did.
So maybe
oh,
that's
well,
what
that's
I gave her.
Same,
I gave
thing.
Her,
same thing.
I gave her granite tables for her house.
That's true story.
Lisa.
Yes.
Right? Now, and wait
enough?
A second.
It is. I wasn't complaining.
Now,
I'm just mentioning.
How awesome are those tables?
They're gorgeous. Did okay. you not eat dinner on that table?
I ate on them. But they're big. I mean, they're nice and they're granite. They're beautiful.
They're beautiful.
Right? Yeah. So
yeah, it's like the nicest
furniture
in my
house. All right. So I didn't show
house.
Up with a bottle of wine. You got two granite tables out of me.
You are right.
All right.
When you're right, you're right.
Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, 1:35 in the morning. Thanks for staying up with us. Lisa's sleeping. Elif and I are up, though. Lisa's snoring over there. Actually, it's not as loud as she normally does. Lisa, wake up. Lisa, got the rest of the show to do here. We're here till 2 o'clock.
Don't are you talking to me?
Lisa, don't fall asleep yet.
You're talking to me.
We're listening to The Man Called X. You like this show?
I like this show.
Yeah, Herbert Marshall is the star. We'll get back to it in just a moment. Want to remind all of our listeners we have a Facebook page, and we'd love it if you'd like us. Would you go to our Facebook page? You can watch the Facebook Live that we shot a little earlier today. Elif was the producer, director, and DP on that. Did a great job. And I opened up my Christmas present, finally, that they gave me. It's a great picture, or I'd say it's like a poster, framed poster. It says, brush your teeth.
I'm not kidding. It's handmade. Each one is made.
It's
That's
really
why it
cool.
took so long.
That's great.
I mean, I didn't
I
make
it
myself.
I love that. I'm going to hang it up.
You didn't? That's why I paid so much for it.
Pottery Barn made it for me.
I'm hanging that up.
Well,
I
need a refund now.
Yeah, good luck.
I'm going to hang that up in my cellar.
Good.
Yeah, no, I'm going to put that in my bathroom. It's great.
That will remind
so
you
cool.
every week
it's great.
To brush your teeth.
I really love it.
Once a week, you can remember.
Really nice.
Whether
good
you
job.
Need it or not.
Whether yeah. he needs it or not. That's what I was going to say.
He did a great job with that. All right, so check out our Facebook page. Just search WGN Radio Theater. Please like us. Want to build our likes. We're near 2,000 likes. I think we have like 1,800 or something like that.
I think Nick DiGilio has like 50,000, and we have like what 2,000.
Come on,
so
that's not fair, folks.
We're a little, we're close. We're honing in on it.
We want more likes. Come on,
yeah, we
go
do.
There and like us.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's fun. We're fun.
We work hard.
We do.
We'll work for likes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll work for likes.
What will we do?
We're working. We're,
oh, okay.
We like the likes. We oh. want likes.
Okay.
So go there. And then we have a Twitter. I'm not sure how that works. I brought some aspirin, though, because if you have a Twitter, you might want to try to get rid of it. Have some aspirin. And then we also have the Free Radio Classics website. Go to freeradioclassics.com. Sign up for that. Get an email every Monday from me that has an embedded classic radio show. You don't want to miss that. You'll get your first one today if you sign up right now. Just go to freeradioclassics.com. Okay, time for the conclusion now to the missing papers on The Man Called X.
Gentlemen, 2 pints of stout.
Look at that head.
It's brewed right here in Dublin at the south side of town.
Yeah, I know. Well, excellent menu, Mr. Jensen.
Thank you. Maybe you'll decide to stay a month or two.
Well, my plans are a little indefinite so far.
Exactly what the other guests said.
Did they?
I think they're all in the public room, by the way. If you'd care to meet them, just go on in and introduce yourselves.
Fine, thanks. Coming, Pagan?
Oh, you bet I'm coming, Mr. Thurston. With the characters flipping bullets at me, I'm sticking closer to you than your own mother.
Now, here we go. Good evening.
Well, more competition. I wondered what happened to you, gentlemen.
Nice of you to be concerned, Miss Dane.
Well, I was hoping for the best, but... Here you are.
Disarmingly frank, isn't that the way they put it?
I suppose. Let me introduce a couple of more rivals. Mr. Thurston and Mr. Zellschmidt, this is Ivan Gonov. He is the dark, sullen type. The sleepy-looking one draped over the chair is Bertie Battersea.
Pleasure, old boy.
He's the hypocritical type. What kind are you, Mr. Thurston?
Well, I'm a part of the kind who interrupts other people's dart games. Go right ahead. We'll watch.
All right. Oh, there is one more, by the way. A man named Khan. He went to bed early.
Well, Yvonne, old boy, it's your throw, you know.
It is a game for children.
Oh, it is the way you play it. Give him a zero, Bertie.
Pleasure.
Would you like to get into the game, Mr. Thurston?
You mean the dart game?
Oh, call it what you like. But put your name on the blackboard there. All scores are public.
Yeah, I see here. Ivan, 50,000. Bertie, 65,000. Zora, 75. And Khan, 100. Mr. Khan seems to be winning so far.
Oh, the score keeps changing. Ivan is now waiting for a cablegram.
Uh-huh. Is this in points, pounds, or dollars?
Your American dollar has become standard everywhere, hasn't it?
I guess so. Well, maybe a challenge is in order.
A challenge? Ah. Oh. Thurston will double anybody's highest score. That is quite a challenge.
Yes, indeed. You really ought to toss a dart or two, old boy. Back it up, you know.
All right. Fine.
Here you are.
Thanks. Now, let's see.
Well, Bertie.
2 bullseyes.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Smug Americans always know everything.
I didn't learn that in America, Ivan. It was in Peru, where they use poison on the darts.
Miss Dane, gentlemen, something tragic has just happened. The boy found Mr. Khan in his room, dead.
What?
It's apparently a heart attack.
A heart attack, huh?
It's too late to inform the authorities until morning, but I did think you ought to know. And if you'll excuse me now.
Well, 1 down and 5 to go. That leaves you with high bid, Miss Dane.
I suppose you mean high score, Mr. Thurston. But aren't you forgetting your offer to double anybody else?
Yes, actually, you're a high man, old boy. Care to toss another dart?
No, I think I'll quit while I'm ahead, at least for tonight.
Is it not a little dangerous to be ahead, Thurston?
Mr. Khan, you mean? Oh, I'm pretty hard to poison.
Poison?
It's an idea, isn't it? In Peru, they use it on the darts. Here, they use it on the players. Well, I'm in room 21, second floor, third door from the stairway. Good night, all.
A British courier is brutally assaulted in the Dublin Air Terminal and robbed of highly secret documents. A fellow passenger named Boucher disappears at the same time, and Ken Thurston arrives at Dublin's Blue Unicorn Inn, posing as a possible buyer of the documents in competition with 4 international criminals. A half hour ago, one of the 4 was found dead in his room, and now Ken enters his own room.
is it?
Mr. Thurston.
Dagon, what are you doing here?
What do you think? Where have you been all this time?
Looking at a dead man.
That fellow Khan? Well, did you find out what killed him?
Sure. Heart failure.
Oh, well, then.
Brought on by a dose of poison.
Mr. X, I'm leaving right this minute.
Well, down that dark alley out there? Oh, you're a brave man, Pagan. And if anything happens to you...
Never mind, never mind. I'm staying right here in this room.
Who is Boucher? That's the important question.
Hey, maybe it's that Ivan character.
Maybe it's any one of them, including Jensen.
Oh, no, Mr. Thurston. He's too good a cook to be a crook.
That specialty dish? No, my man is a look at the kitchen. Jensen's chicken fricassee comes in a can.
Oh, but then... But that means he's the one.
No, it just means he's lying, but he is a possibility. They all are. And they all know the authorities will move in on Khan's desk tomorrow, so the heat's on.
Oh, then I'm staying right here, Mr. Thurston. You're not going to catch me off down the hall somewhere in the room all alone.
This is the hottest spot in the hotel, Pagan. But what are you worrying about? I'm the one who was offered the highest bid. So the whole gang will be out rid of... Good night, Pagan. Miss Dane, right where you are.
You are not in bed.
No, it's my night for insomnia. Yours too?
I slipped in here to make a deal with you, Mr. Thurston.
Huh?
Look, we have the two top beds. Why do we not pull them and then split the stuff between us?
Why don't you just outbid me and take the whole thing?
Because I don't have enough money. Ivan will beat us both out if we let him. His government is backing him. They will go to any land.
Who is Boucher, Miss Dane?
How do I know? Maybe you are.
Maybe, or you.
Do I look like a man?
You could be a partner to one. Who poisoned Khan?
Ask Ivan. He used the same trick once in Casablanca.
And your trick seems to be a knife in the sleeve. Give it to me.
Stop it! Stop! You're hurting my arm!
Out to eliminate competition, huh?
I always carry it for self-defense.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to defend yourself without it for a while. Good night, Miss Dane.
No deal, Mr. Thurston.
No deal.
If you change your mind, you know where to find me.
Yes, sure. Come on in, Bertie.
Get mixed up with Mr. X. If I get out of this, I swear by the... Maybe I won't get out of it. Maybe I'll be murdered right here in my bed like a dog in the dark with rain coming down. Nobody even to care if I... Oh, no. Oh, no. That's it. Yeah. I'm just as good as a dead dog. Please don't kill me.
Feel this gun against your throat.
Yes, sir. I feel it good.
I'll keep feeling it. Answer me. I want to know who Thurston is.
Well, he's just Mr. Thurston. That's all, sir.
You don't feel it good enough. Who is he? Who is he? What's he doing? Come on, talk.
All right, all right. I'll tell you, he's... No, I can't do it.
Talk?
So, well, he's the man called X. Oh, forgive
us. Oh, that's it. Well, that explains a lot.
It does?
Zellschmidt, you've never seen me before, have you?
No, sir. I mean, how do I know? It's too dark to tell.
Say that you don't tell. Do you understand?
Sure. I mean, sir, yes, I understand.
All right. I go on back to sleep.
Thurston.
Miss Dane, Ivan.
Good morning.
See you now. who's missing. Bertie and Jensen. Ann Kahn, of course, is dead.
And Ortega.
I'll be down in a minute. Meanwhile, suppose we bring the game out into the open.
Hmm? Go on.
All of us are after the same thing, and one of us is going to get it. So let's talk to Boucher and settle the deal.
Fine, fine. Only who is Boucher?
Wait, I will not permit any deal until I hear from
Mr. Thurston.
What is it, Pagan?
The Jensen guy. I went to his room, like you said, and he's not there. He didn't sleep in his bed.
Well, he wouldn't run out without trying to close the deal unless he... Maybe he's in the kitchen. Come on.
Well, it seems we have all been tricked, Mr. Thurston. Jensen, Boucher, whoever he is, has got away.
Doesn't seem to make sense. And yet...
Maybe he was the one last night, Mr. Thurston, eh? You know, that made me tell about...
No, he's too tall. That man was short. More like Ivan here.
What?
And anyway, even if he did know, I think he'd make some attempt to close the deal.
Perhaps it was closed. Bertie is gone too, you know.
Wait a second. What's that noise?
It's coming from that closet door, Mr. Thurston.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Keys in the lock. Well.
Who is it?
Well, let's get this gag off and find out. There.
Where is he? Where is he? Just show me where he is, and so help me, I'll kill him with my bare hands.
Kill who?
The criminal idiot who calls himself Jensen. Sir, do you realize he's kept me bound and gagged for 2 days, a prisoner in my own pantry?
Huh?
Said he wanted to lease the place, overpowered me, tied me up. So help me if I ever get
Wait a second.
Hand.
Jensen's run out on all of us. Who are you?
Kerrigan is the name, sir. I'm the owner of the place. Just help me out of these ropes, I'll tell you all about it. Well, gentlemen, Miss Dane, it's a nasty experience, but I feel a whole lot better now.
I wish we could say the same, Mr. Carrigan.
So he double-crossed you on some kind of business deal, eh? And he's crooked enough, all right. I should have known it the minute I laid eyes on him.
I suppose you'd like us to leave as soon as possible, Mr. Carrigan, unless you plan to operate the inn yourself.
No, not me, Mr. Thurston. I've lost enough money on it. Closed it down for good 2 years ago.
Mm. By the way, Mr. Carrigan, that painting on the wall by the dartboard... An old family heirloom?
Not exactly. It's been there a long time, though. What do you ask?
I rather like it. About $100 worth, if it is money you need.
Oh. It's a nice frame, Miss Dane. $200, maybe?
All right. At least I tried. Here.
Gentlemen, I call you as witnesses that I made no claims about the painting.
What do you mean?
I know what you thought, but you're wrong. It is not an original Utrillo.
I see. Well, taken again. I guess I had better get out of the game.
Wait. Notice the heavy layer of dust on the frames of the other paintings in the room. It's interesting. This one is so clean. So the deal was closed, Miss Dane, Mr. Carrigan, or rather Mr. Boucher. No, don't move.
You're talking like a fool.
You found out who I am from Pagan last night, so you had your partner Jensen run out to throw me off. Then you closed the deal with Miss Dane. Delivery was just made. The papers are hidden somewhere in the back of that painting. Hold it, Ivan. Stay where you are.
You're making a big mistake, Thurston. My name is Carrigan.
Is it? Look, if you've been locked up for 2 days... How did your shoes get wet from last night's rain, Boucher?
You know, that's really a very good question, old
man. Oh, Bertie, come on in.
Watch him, Mr. Thurston. He's got a gun.
Yeah, I know.
But aren't you going to do something? Shoot him or something?
And have the British Secret Service lose one of their best men?
Secret Service.
Thanks. Oh, we picked up that Jensen individual, Mr. Thurston, about 3 streets away.
Good.
My chap's searching Yvonne's room at the moment. Matter of poison, you know.
You'll need that cablegram.
Well, Mr. Thurston, it looks as though you have the high score. Pick up the marbles.
Thanks. There's a lot more involved, though, than that. It's the same old story and the same old game. Anything for a crooked buck. It's being played all over the world, too. With no umpire, no rules. By people who aren't worth their powder to... Well, we've just got to keep on winning, that's all. We've got to keep on winning.
is our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. Join us, won't you, when next I return as the man called X. Good night.
That's The Man Called X from March 31st, 1951. That's a show called The Missing Papers, starring Herbert Marshall, as heard on NBC. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break, then we'll be right back. We're going to be talking with Nick DiGilio in just a couple of moments, because he'll be here to tell you what's coming up on his show. And next week, Lisa, we have more classic radio. They just keep giving us 6 hours a week on this radio station.
And we keep gobbling it up.
And we're happy to be here for, there he is. What's up, Nick? Next week we have
Suspense, the Martin and Lewis Show, and the Green Hornet. That will be Saturday night. And on Sunday night, we have the Whistler, the Jack Benny program, and the Big Story.
All right. So we're here on Saturdays and Sundays, 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't tell you how many times my friends say, what time are you on, WGN? Yeah, I say, just go to the website, WGNRadioTheater.com. Tells you the time. We're on.
You can go to WGN Radio as well. There's a schedule on there, and we are one of the shows on the schedule.
Yeah, we try to be at least.
We try to make our mark.
So next week, we will be back 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning, more classic radio. And Nick DiGilio is here, and we're going to ask him what's, first of all, how are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
And we have a show coming up here with Nick, and what's on the show, buddy?
It's the big year-end movie wrap-up. Eric and Colin will be live in studio with me, and we will talk about the best movies of 2016, the worst movies of 2016, and everything in between.
Well,
it's our annual. We do it every year.
Yeah.
And they'll be hanging out through most of the show. So.
Right. Oof. What's at the theater right now that I should see? Anything? How about this Passengers movie? Is that any good?
No.
Not good.
No.
Okay. Stay away.
I'd say what's in theaters right now, Manchester by the Sea is pretty amazing.
Yeah. I saw that this week. I really enjoyed that.
It's not the happiest movie in the world.
No, it's very depressing.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure you'll hear more talk of Manchester by the Sea with the three of us when we do our year-end lists.
But right now in movies, if I was going to take my daughter or go see a movie this week, what should I see?
You're going to take your daughter?
Well, I usually take my daughter or my son. My son's 18.
Oh.
So he and I might go. Have you seen
the Star Wars movie yet?
I have not.
It's really good.
It's really good. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Anything else you can think of?
What
about that Fences?
I liked
Fences. Oh, Fences is good, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. So.
Yeah, and the Golden Globes were last night.
Yeah, I was watching a little of that before I came here.
And obviously, you know, La La Land is in theaters.
Yeah.
It's not a Carl kind of movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You don't like musicals. That's right.
I loved it.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
I like both of the actors, but I don't like singing in film.
It's not a Carl movie. Don't. You just got to know the guy.
No, yeah. I mean, you don't like musicals. You shouldn't see it.
Right.
I didn't even like Singing in the Rain. I mean, that's
I didn't even
like that movie. So, I just have a no fly zone. I have a no go to a movies if there's music in it zone.
And music of any kind?
I don't want to see a musical. I mean, I just don't. I would rather. I don't mind listening to music in my car if I'm driving, but I don't want to go to the theater, pay money, and watch people sing. It doesn't compute to me.
You're a weirdo.
Yeah. Well, that's why I know that. I know that's not a secret. And your dad's going to tell a joke?
He will. Yes. Okay, he'll be calling in a little bit later on.
All right. So stick around because Nick DiGilio is coming up next. You won't want to miss that. And I want to hear all about the movies. I'll be listening. I definitely want to hear
that. Yeah. Colin and Eric and I, we're very thorough. We take the year. And we go through, we have our 20 best movies, 15 worst movies, and then we have a whole bunch of subcategories that we get to every